renewing oneself. You know, there comes time in life that every once in a while, just when you've been in a hard battle or a hard push, an election, our country in war, time to just stop and take a deep breath and renew yourself and remember how it is that we do renew ourselves, from whence it comes. Because a refreshing is always, it gets the steam up and it reinvigorates you and it gives you the power, the authority, and the health to just get right on in the harness and keep plowing. It's good for us. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of Ephesians, and let's open our Bibles to chapter 4. Chapter 4 in the New Testament, book of Ephesians. It never hurts anyone to be reinvigorated or renewed. I think there were some games last night that reinvigorated a lot of people. Won't go there, okay? But it's fantastic. How many of you saw the Texas Longhorn game? You were there. Anyway, it was awesome. They talk about coming from behind. Boy. Okay, anyway, back to the Father's business. We need to know how to renew ourselves and who it is that does renew us from right within, okay? Number one, it is to zero in and concentrate and stay focused on the things that are most important. So having said that, let's pick it up with chapter 4, verse 16. Let's just pick from it the Word of God. Verse 16 reads, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." That's to say, all working together. That's what's most important for the body of Christ. Talking about the many-membered body here that works together in whatever gifts God has given you. And He gives everyone gifts, and many of them differ, okay? And it takes the whole body, all right? It takes the whole body. You know, there are some people that never have to speak a word concerning the Word of God, but their very presence, their smile, and their living God's way is a great witness. You know, so you never know, never judge people, but always remember, you must fit into that body, and in fitting, you draw God's blessings upon yourself, and that's what other people see, and that's what creates the witness. Verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord." I speak in this in the Lord's name. It's not just me talking, Paul says, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, in the empty, as ethnos would do, that is to say, peoples of the world. Okay. Verse 18, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Always, you know, people wonder, well, what's wrong with the world? Well, what's wrong with this party or that party? Well, if it's ever a party that's trying to separate you from God, what's wrong with that picture? Duh. You know, there's something wrong. It doesn't take an intelligent person to know. If someone's trying to separate you from God, that's wrong. And you know something? You're not going to put up with it. Period. That's just not going to happen. And so, unfortunately, some people have a hard time grasping that picture. They think if you say, well, that's religion, they snicker, they laugh. Let them laugh. They'll laugh themselves all the way to hell. You stay focused on God's Word, and it is not politically correct that matters. Hooey on politically correct. It's what's morally correct. We have lived through a time that you come in and some person that's an atheist will come in and say, "This whole school offends my little darling when they mention God." Well, you know what? Tough stuff. Okay, take your little darling and go somewhere else. You know, we're going to stick to what's morally right and teach our children as they should be taught according to God's word. You know, if you're not careful, you allow the enemy to corner you into being ashamed to even open your mouth to defend Almighty God, your Heavenly Father. Okay. So you don't be bashful about speaking up and do what's morally correct rather than what's politically correct. That's a gimmick, okay? Anything that is morally correct is fine. It's good. You cannot get better than morally correct, okay? That's pleasing to God, and it should be fair to every neighbor, every person, whoever they are or wherever they are. So no one should be able to knock that. But when we start allowing Satan to slip in and try to defoliate our vocabulary of the word God, then we've laid down like a bunch of wimps and allowed ourselves to be beaten. It's not going to happen. We're not giving up ground, we're taking ground. And I thank our Father for the platform that He has given us, that we go around the world. And do you know which foreign country we're the strongest in? It may surprise you. It's China. China. The people that need freedom, that want to think for themselves. And in this hemisphere, in the Americas, we're strong, and we thank our Father for it. And I'm speaking of around the world. This is just so fantastic that we see people reaching out for truth and understanding. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being an alien, we read that, didn't we? Blindness in your heart, yeah, okay. 19, who being past feeling, that's to say it's cauterized. It's like when you get a real bad burn, there's no feeling there anymore. They have their hearts cauterized, branded over. Having given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Drive the people as far as you can. Take God away from them, and they'll come around to thinking like we think. Wrong. Wrong. Get yourself in gear and stay focused. We're not going to let something like that happen. And the American people and the people of the world will not allow that to happen. We got a ways to go. But we're getting there, okay? And again, I'll thank our Father for giving us a platform that we have a little something to do with that, and I thank our Father for it. There was one time a European television company wanted a tidbit of some of our recording, our tapings, viewings, to be able to play it in Europe. And do you know what it was? It was back when a question was asked of a certain individual, what would you do if somebody broke in your house and raped your wife right in front of you? Would you be in favor of the death penalty? And I said, any man that wouldn't kick somebody's teeth out and destroy them that raped your wife in front of you is not a man. That's what they wanted to play in Europe to show what a bunch of gun-toters we are, I guess. Hey, don't worry, it'll do good. You know why? Because that's right. Right always wins. And when you listen to these sloppy joes, now there's a new name for them, that like to encourage people to be politically correct, okay? Even though it goes, be politically correct, don't mention God anymore. What a bunch of nonsense. Our own Heavenly Father, and we couldn't talk about Him. You would let somebody do that to you, take your dignity without even force? I think not. Is that what this scripture is saying, all of it? I think so. That's what it's saying, isn't it? Sure. Verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. You didn't get any of that stuff from Him. You didn't get any of that stuff from the Word of God. And that's what you better pay attention to. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ, if you've learned this in reality, you know what he would have done when he would have gone down to the temple and they would have said, we're selling doves and we're taking little money changers here. You know, if the bill you've got is too big, we'll take 10% of it and we'll give you back this and you can put a little dime in there. And this is what's politically correct. And Jesus made a cat of nine tails, and he took after the whole bunch, upset their bird cages, turned the miserable minded things loose, and upturned their money tables. Why? It wasn't right. It was not morally right. So if you want to know what Christ taught, don't drift away from it. He stands for something you're supposed to, too. Do you know something? A man or a woman that won't make a stand, there's something wrong. They're an individual that's hurting. Because you've got to stand for something. You have to, naturally, as a Christian, you have to stand for Christ and what you learn from him. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You know, it is, when you think in the flesh, the carnal flesh, and act in the carnal flesh, you do some pretty bad things because you do not have the unction or the teachings of Christ to know right from wrong. And let me tell you something, young people. Christ is never going to take any pleasure away from you. He's going to keep you out of trouble. He's going to keep you away from diseases that can kill you. He's going to show you the right way to have more pleasure than anyone that lives away of the world. Okay? Absolutely. So you don't lose anything by withdrawing from the carnal and doing things God's way. 23. And be renewed. This is why I wanted to come here. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This word renewed is ananeo, and it means to be be renovated, to reinvigorate yourself. And in what? And in Christ, of course. To be renewed, a thing of the mind. Do you know, in the spirit of your mind, what spirit does your spirit draw from to raise your spirit? You notice there's a lowercase on that word spirit there. The spirit that has the uppercase, the Holy Spirit, touching you, being in you, vitalizing you, raising you up, encouraging you, giving you power to stand for something. You know, being a good Christian doesn't mean you've got to be a showboater in a religious sense, or a religious freak. Okay? Just live it. Okay? Live, well, what do you mean? Live as Christ? Yeah, like overturning the money tables. Okay? People try to put Christ on he should be put on a pedestal, but by that I mean they think he didn't take care of business. They crucified him not for being a yes man, but for standing for something, okay? So renew yourself in him. He showed you the way. The footprints are there. Walk in them. Verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I mean the real McCoy. No nonsense. You know, I wish I could say that we all were perfect. But even Paul himself would say, I start out to do what's right every time, and it seems like I always end up falling a little bit short. Well, as long as your intentions are right and you're doing your best, you're going to stumble a little bit in this world. I'll tell you for sure. Then it's still in God's will. Repent, get up, and go on. Don't worry about it. Verse 25, it's better to do something and have to repent for a little something to sit and do nothing. Okay? God loves a doer. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. That's the many-membered body. And do speak the truth. What is the truth? It's God's word, of course. Do your neighbor as you would have him do you. And you know something? He will do you right. I performed a funeral service yesterday, and it was to as good a neighbor as I've ever had in my life, right here in Gravette, Arkansas. And, you know, when I'm away, I know that neighbor looks after my stuff. I don't have to worry about it. It's the best thing in the world, okay? Verse 26. Be ye angry, or let's rephrase that, but if you be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't be one of these people that hangs on to anger. Do you know something? It'll eat you up. It's not fit for the family. You might say, well, they didn't repent. They don't have to, you know. Just mark them well if they've offended you. It's not in a sense you forgiving them, and in a way it is. Don't let it puff up and you just say, you know, before I met Christ and was rejuvenated, I was ignorant too. Okay. But I've risen above that because I'm an adult in the Lord now. And I know why that ignorant person did that. You know, and ignorant is not, they just don't know any better. It's not an insult necessarily. They just don't know any better. And you have to accept that. They're coming along, and you set that example. If you think I'm saying you should let them walk over you, you're mistaken. I'm saying don't go to bed at night with something held up in your crawler. You won't sleep good, you won't be rested, and you'll have a bad day the next day, and you let the enemy get away with it. That's why I'm saying that. Don't let stuff pin up within yourself. It's like an old boil. It'll clabber up till it just bursts and spews out everywhere. Okay? Don't let that happen to you. Especially in couples. Don't go to bed tonight without having your troubles worked out. That's bad business. Okay? Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Don't do it. Especially when you're angry, you let him in. You know, that's the bad part. When you're angry, sometimes you let him in. And why? You got your guard down. It's real easy. You know, when you really love someone and someone really loves you, do you know how bad they can hurt you? And yet you innocently take them for granted?
Well, it is my husband.
Oh, is it? Well, for a while, maybe. Okay. You know, don't take anyone for granted. Appreciate them every day. Let them know you love them, all right? And that works just as well the other day, way with the wife. You know, I'm not playing sides here, okay? 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. It's so much better to work for something than it is to steal it. Because, I mean, we got high-tech, catchy, gotcha stuff anymore, and instead of gaining anything, you're going to prison anyway, so you'd have been a lot better off working for it and enjoying it, you know, and let God bless you till he gives you enough you work for that you can share with others. So much better a picture. That's the picture you want to see. 29, let no corrupt communication... that's bad language, okay, or mealy-mouthing somebody. Proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that means that can build people up, not tear them down, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, that it'll be of a comfort. It'll help them out. That's the way to do it, you know. And just a little word, hey, you're looking good today, you know. And then usually you say that to some old boy, and he'll say, yeah, I know it. You know, but be that as it may, you know, don't be afraid to build someone up. Being my point, I leave there. 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. This is why I came this far. I'd like to stop back a few verses, but I wanted to get this. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Whose Spirit is the Holy Spirit? It's God's Spirit, of course. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Have you ever read Revelation chapter 9? Who is it? This is why you renew. You don't want to miss this point. It's important. It's extremely important. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, it says, God says to Satan, you can go down there and bother every last one of them except those that have the seal of God in their forehead. Okay? Meaning sealed of God with truth, knowing the false Christ is coming first, knowing what they intend lies they intend to put out in the nations to deceive people around the world to accept the first Messiah that comes along, not having the seal of God in their forehead, the truth, to know the chronological order of events. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that there's an Antichrist coming, and that Christ is coming. Sometimes it's better for you to say, there are two Christs, and one is coming, and then the other is coming. Because people are ready for a rapture to take place and jump on the first Christ that comes along wagon and fly out of here. It's not going to happen. Okay, that's not the seal of God. But the seal of God delivers you. You stay focused. Where does it come from? It's God's Spirit, His Word. That's why He wrote this letter to you, so that you could not be deceived by that is politically correct, but that you would stick with that is morally correct. And I want to go one step further on morally correct. You're not going to offend a living soul if you're morally correct. If you're politically correct, you can offend a lot of souls to hell if you're not careful. There's a big difference. Think about it. If you don't quite understand it, put it on the shelf. But a person that is morally correct will not offend anyone unless they need the correction. And that's the way it is. The seal of God is so very important. It guarantees that Satan can't bother you. Why? You don't find him tempting, do you? Can Satan tempt you? I don't think so. Because you have the seal of the living God. You renew yourself with it. It gives you knowledge and understanding whereby you have no weakness as far as standing against that is wrong, that is untrue. Okay, let's go to another place. We're teaching Romans right now. Let's go to the book of Romans on television, I mean. And it's the ABCs of Christianity, ABCs of the gospel. And what does it have to say about renewing? Chapter 7 we'll turn to, okay? Chapter 7, great book of Romans. When it comes to things that bring pressure on people in the world, then renewing yourself gives you a head start, heads up. You're ready for the next step, you know, always. God expects His children to be that way, prepared, always prepared. Verse 6 of chapter 7, the great book of Romans, verse 6 reads, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held. You were helped by the law, but that's when you were a sinner, of course, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And that newness is to be renewed in the Spirit again, the Spirit of God, to want to do what's right, to want to help people, not put them down, not hurt them. But certainly not to be deceived yourself, because you know what? If you're deceived yourself, you're kind of in a bad shape to help somebody else. Really, you are. Verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. It's a teacher. It's man that's kind of falls short. The law doesn't. God gave it. It's God given. 8. But sin taketh occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, that is to say, desire to covet. Let's say it simpler. For without the law, sin was dead. I mean, you weren't aware of it. Didn't know it. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. That means when I was converted, that part of me ceased to exist in a sense. Let me say something, you know, because this is a little bit overstated in a way, and Paul makes that very clear in a place or two. As long as you're in the flesh, you're in the flesh, okay? And just as sure as when you get hungry, what does your tummy do? I mean, you get so hungry, your tummy sends a message up. It says, if you don't feed me, we're going to die. Okay. I mean, I've got to take over here and make you stop at the next hamburger joint or we're going to die. Okay. You have to control yourself. You can't let the carnal take over. That's what we're talking about here. 10. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. So where does that leave a sinner? Not much, okay? Was then that which is good made death unto me? Good, God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. In other words, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And I'll tell you what, I wasn't going to do it, but I happen to be at a spot I mentioned a little bit earlier, and I have to assume from the Holy Spirit, like what we all argue with in the flesh, let's just be honest about it, is you can fall short if you're not careful, okay? Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. I don't know. I know not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. It seems what Paul is saying, I always seem to start out just exactly wanting to do right, but man, it just sometimes ends up the other way and I do what's wrong. It happens, okay? It even happened to Paul. And I'm going to stop there in this place. Renew yourself with the Word of God. Renew yourself with the Spirit of God. Because in that, many things of the world, and let me reinstate, the law is not bad. It is, the law teaches us, well, you know, let's take the law, thou shalt not steal. Well, don't. Okay? That's good. It's still very much in effect, all right? And it will keep you out of a bunch of trouble. The law is good. It is man that, even when we try, and beloved, I guess I will take advantage of this to say that's why you need to renew yourself when you do fall short. Get back in the Word. Let Him know you love Him. Let Him know that you want to follow Him. Let Him use you. And, you know, he knows. That's why He died on the cross, was so that He could forgive sin. That we could sin more? No, God forbid. But that to help us when we did sin. Okay, let's go right on into chapter 8. We're going to go into chapter 8. Let's pick it up with verse 9. Same subject. ABCs of Christianity. Never hurts anyone to get back into the ABCs, because it always plows so much deeper when you take it to its fullest. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. You have to renew yourself in that, beloved, because having the Spirit of God keeps Satan. He can't touch you. God again saying in Revelation 9:4, you can go down there and you can bother anybody on earth, do anything you want to them, but don't you dare touch those that have the Spirit of God in their mind. You do. And Satan can't touch you. You can tempt yourself, but Satan can't tempt you necessarily because you know his games. You know what he does. Okay? Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. In other words, these flesh bodies, we're going to shed them. We're going to get rid of them. But our spiritual body, we maintain. So live in it even as much as possible, even when you're in the flesh. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, now listen to this carefully. He that raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Do you know what quickeneth means? It means make alive. Not dead, but make alive. He gives you a life. You've heard people say, why don't you get a life? Well, this is the way you get it, okay? You let him give you that life, and you take it. If he raised up Jesus, you do believe he did, don't you? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be a Christian. Then you better know he's going to raise you up also. And those that pass away, he's already has them with him. He raises them up at that time. We don't put people in a hole in the ground out here. We only put the flesh remains. They're already with the Father. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. 13, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live eternal life, beloved. We're not talking just short time affairs here. We're talking eternal. And you know something? You're pretty good old troopers. And it'll be good to be with you forever. And we're going to be there. And our King will be also. What a time it will be. And we will have defeated many of these things that digress and that offend in this earth right now. And we will have that happiness forever and ever. Don't sell it short. Renew yourself in it, because you can enjoy that part of it even now. To be invigorated. To be made alive. To be quickened with the Spirit. To enjoy his love even now. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And one more verse, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father, my Father. Listen to me, the Spirit of God. It's very important that you renew every time you need it. When you feel your life is kind of getting in a rut, that's bad. You renew your spirit because you need that spirit. It is what keeps Satan away from you and your family. You've heard me say many times, families won't heed a warning. You know, a couple here, they're getting ready maybe to go to work, and one said, there, you've squeezed the toothpaste wrong again. What's wrong with you? I don't know, some women do that. Okay. I jest, but I mean some little thing like that that is nonsense. You know, what do wise people do if a tube of toothpaste gets you in trouble? Get two of them, okay? Get two of them, you know, and say, there, you just go ahead and do it however you want to. I'm happy with mine. Okay, but get along. Don't let anger take your family over, or you're going to open the door and say, come on in, Satan. We're easy. We argue about the least little old things that children do. Childish, childish, childish. Reinvigorate yourself with the Spirit of God. And it's so important, because it's what keeps Satan hands off of you during the time that the Antichrist is here, where you can help your people, a champion of the people. It's important, beloved. Don't forget that Spirit of God and to renew yourself in it. I want to take you to one more place, right here in Romans, chapter 12. chapter 12 of Romans. It is so important to be refreshed. It truly is. Chapter 12, verse 1, great book of Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies, you know what that is? That's the love, the unmerited favor of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's your duty, okay? It's your duty. Hey, what he's done for you, when you mess up the way you do, and he's willing to just scratch it off, paid in full, and gives you a fresh start, renewed with vigor, you have to love him for that, okay? You have to. Can't help it. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing, I repeat, the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you want to do the will of God, or do you want to do your own will? Do you want to serve him, or do you want to serve the world? What does he mean, be not of the world? Well, you get all involved in politics, that's fine. You should vote. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Everybody should vote, or you're not really a good Christian. That's, you know, we've cast lots coming out the gate from the Garden of Eden. That means cast a vote, okay? So down to this day. But don't participate in the ways of the world with its politically correct attitude, okay? Separate yourself from it. In other words, don't let one lone individual. Do you understand that being politically correct, this is what it really amounts to. If we had an atheist that came through that door, I imagine you'll all be able to see this picture, and came up to me and said, I wish you would put down that book. It offends me, and I want to be a part of this family. What do you think I would say to them? Think about it. Get that picture real good. That's politically correct, okay? Well, I'm going to say what's morally correct, all right? And that's as it should be. So don't ever forget that. Don't get so wrapped up in the world. And this word world, is what it means is its system, its way of doing things. We want God's system. Okay, that means what's morally right. And renew your mind to where you are willing to say, I want the will of God. You know, this is a bad fault of many Christians. I'm going to just come right out and let you know. Not every Christian wants to believe or say the will of God. They want, I want it my way. It's my will I want, and I don't want nothing else. Don't you love him enough that you can say, Father, if it be possible, if it be your will, let's do it this way? You see, he knows what's going to happen on down the road, and he knows where you could really get in trouble, and he'll prevent you sometimes from bringing trouble on yourself. And you'll weep, and, you know, and as I used to tell my boys when they would get all upset, I'd just go out there in the woods, the old pond, get on the bank somewhere and cry yourself out. Get it out of your system, because this is the way it is. Ain't that right, David? But that's the way, renew yourself in him and let it be God's will, all right, that leads you and directs you, and be happy with that. Be happy that you're pleasing to him. Because you know what he's going to do? He's going to bless your life. He's going to bless you right out of your bonnet. Because you love him. Every loving parent takes care of their children. God loves you and you are his child. Don't ever forget that. Renew yourself in his way and in his will. For he will never will anything that would hurt you. He only wants the good for you. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, that means sincerely, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That means faith is gifts, okay, in this sense. That he gives you the gifts you need, and we're not to judge anyone by their gifts, all right? If it's from God, you'll know it, you know? Some people are so sweet that when they just walk into a room, they have that gift that makes everybody feel better, safer, more secure, because it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to say anything, you know what I mean? So many people want to pass out, get holy and pass out tracts, and then maybe if they get too holy, they want to pass the hat, okay? You know, and do something religious real quick. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or the same function, we have different duties, okay? So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. It's a many-membered body. You know, we have members all over the world that make this ministry, this platform, available. It's amazing. I mean, it's a miracle. It truly is. And I won't say any more than that, other than I guarantee you, the power of our platform, the people of Gravette, Arkansas and the surrounding areas could no way have presented it or done it. It's the hand of God that rings it around the world and allows this word, not my word and not your word, but his word, to be taught. And it is not our deeds, but his word that changes lives. It gives people purpose. They know why they're here on earth. And it gives you substance in your life. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. In other words, serve God as God leads you. Renewing yourself in the Spirit of God places the Spirit of God in your mind, and it's a seal. It is a seal. It's very important. That's not ABCs, okay? That's clarity of knowing Satan can't bother you and that God can use you, especially in this end generation. It's important that you log that in your mind and remember it. Again, Revelation chapter 9, verse 4 will anchor this whole renewing in your mind and give you the ultimate reason of why you can be a champion for him. Does that make you better than anyone else? Well, it makes you a little more loving to the Father that he can use you. You know why? Jesus is going to stay at the right hand of God until all of his enemies are made his footstool. Who do you think is going to put the enemy there in his place? You are. Okay? You're going to do it. Through, of course, his power. That's what he's got the many-membered body for. So, you know, some people can live from day to day and life to life, paycheck to paycheck. And some people need a renewing through benchmarks in life to strengthen them, to carry on. For winners are winners, and you always win when you're with him. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Thank you, Father, for using us, this family, this many-membered body that reaches around the world, Father. We thank you so much, and we are in thy service. We ask it in Jesus, Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. and the mark of the beast take. What is this mark of the beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the mark of the beast.
In other words, a wise person would never give advice concerning divorce when he knew not either party or what happened or what caused it. So you have to make up your own mind. Now, I will say, anyone can put a fleece out to the Lord, but if you know what you're doing, okay? advice only. Before you put a fleece out, you must have always done everything in your own power and ability. And on the third time it fails, then put the fleece out, but try to fix it yourself. Reva from Tennessee. I've been a widow for 6 years now. What does the Bible say about a widow remarrying and having a relationship since my husband has passed? I'm very lonely. Well, you don't have to be lonely. We covered the scripture today there in the book of Romans that when we give wedding vows, we either say, as long as you both shall live, or until death do us part. That ends the marriage vows right there, okay? And you are, if you choose to be, free to remarry, all right? Don't feel you have to stay alone. I don't care what some preacher, some reverend, or some would-be Christian tells you, well, it would be wrong for you. Don't you remember your husband? Of course you do. But he's not with you any longer. And as the scripture stated today, you're free to remarry. Be real careful. Be real careful. Anna from Georgia, is it okay to donate your body to science? I've been going to a church for 3 years, and they make me feel like I'm not wanted there because I can't read or write. I don't know what to do. Well, Anna, listen to me, dear. You're never too old to learn to read or write. Go to your local library. If you do not have a library, local library in the town that you live in Georgia, go to a counselor at your high school, at the high school there. They'll be happy to talk to you, be more than happy. And there is a program of volunteers. I really hate that I cannot call the name of the organization. Barbara Bush had a great deal to do with carrying it forward. But to teach senior people or anyone how to read or write, and it's free, you know. They do it out of the love of their heart to help you learn to read or write. Check into that. If you have trouble, you contact us back again, and we'll try to help put you in touch with someone. Okay, but you can do it yourself. All right, there's good people to help. Okay, your county clerk could probably even tell you. Susan from Texas. I have a question about Jesus. When he was about to die on the cross, he told Mary to meet her son and John to meet his mother. I believe you said that meant for John to look after and care for Mary. Where was Joseph and Jesus, other half-brothers and sisters? Well, apparently, you know, at one time they had kind of fallen away. They thought Jesus had lost his mind. So apparently they weren't with him. Let's put it just like that. Joseph apparently had passed away probably a few years before this fact. And what Jesus was saying, we Christians are all family. Okay. We're all, it's a one body. We are family. John happened to be the disciple that is even the one Jesus loved, so to speak. And who else would he put in his mother in care of, and as all the others had run anyway? So think about it. Joyce from Maryland. I would like to know, will the Antichrist appear once or twice before our Lord returns? Where can I find this documentation in the Bible? Well, it's you would find it basically in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which when I was quoting 1 Thessalonians a few moments ago, well, Paul hastily wrote 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to keep people from being deceived, because he said, I want to talk to you about our gathering back to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way on earth he's going to appear back to us until the son of perdition, which is to say Satan, stands in Jerusalem claiming to be God. And then immediately following that tenure, here comes the true Christ. One time and one time only. It is known as the tribulation of the spurious Messiah, the false Christ or Antichrist. Delta from Kansas. In the first earth age, which was spiritual, and in their spiritual bodies, were their families, were their babies just created or born spiritually, or how if they didn't have a womb? God created his children, okay? And they were all created as adults. And the womb did not come into being until this earth age. And many are going to say, well, who did God choose to be female? And I always say, the tough ones, the ones that can really handle pain and that have good sense, okay? I know that offends some people, but hey, you know, women are so stable when it comes in average of taking care of their children, mothering. What a person, what a human being a mother is. I mean, the whole world may turn against a child, but a mother is always there. Larry from Oklahoma, is it biblically correct for the minister of a church to decide how the money is spent for the church? Well, now, Larry, many churches have different bylaws and so forth, but usually the board, before the minister is hired, sets a salary for him, and then they have a system of paying bills. So if the board were to turn the church totally over to the minister to handle all things, he might stay beyond his tenure, okay? I don't know. I can't say, because I don't know what church you're speaking of. I don't know if it's a corporation. If it's a corporation, he definitely does not have the right to do that. If it is a non-corporate church, then I don't know what the bylaws are. You would have to read them. But normally, everybody works together in a church because it's one body. Gilbert from California. How do I document that the fallen angels play a significant part in the reason women cover their heads in church? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10. It is that they are to keep Christ over their head. Verse 10 reads, because of the angels. It's scripture. It's God's word. Do you believe God's word? There you go. Merle from Texas. What does take up your cross mean in Matthew 10:38? Well, it means kind of like the same thing in Luke chapter 14. What does one take up his cross for? Well, I don't know. What did Christ take up his cross for? To be crucified on it. To take up your cross means it is an analogy. That means you be serious enough in what you're doing, in forming yourself to that mold, that you're willing to go all the way in Christianity, that you're not just playing church, that you're going to stand with Christ when the Antichrist comes, even if hell freezes over. Maybe that's an old southern saying, all right? It means till the end comes, till it's all fini. You're going to stick with him. That's what it means, okay? it's difficult to say that sometimes without frightening people, but that's exactly, you took a cross up and carried it to be crucified on, all right? You didn't pick it up to roll it around the country like some people do, you know, dragging down the highway, endangering traffic and everything. Derek from Georgia, does it say anywhere in the Bible it is written? Lots of places. I'll tell you what, make a note of Matthew chapter 4 when Satan was tempting Christ. How many times did it say, did Jesus answered when Satan said, do this or do that, Jesus would say, it is written. Okay, what meaning in the Torah, the Old Testament? Eddie from Georgia, I mean, I'm just giving you one chapter. There are many, many places. Eddie from Georgia, Satan's time on earth was 5 months. Will be 5 months, okay? How long is the beast system and will it cause a deadly wound to it? Do you think a lot of people will die at this time? No. It's a big church time. It's a time that Satan's going to try to save everybody, okay? Only if Satan saves you, where are you going? You're going to go with him. Well, where's he going? He's going to hell, okay? He's not trying to kill people. He's coming as the false Christ to save people, okay? And the system has 2.5 months. He has 2.5 months. Not one iota changed concerning the order of things. Only the time was shortened, okay, of the 7-year period split in 3.5 years each, 2.5 months each. I'm out of time. I love y'all. You know why? Because you're in the Word. God loves you for it, too. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, hey, you stay in His Word every day. In His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. Are you a new listener to Shepherd's Chapel? We know at first glance the Bible may seem a little overwhelming. You may have asked yourself, where do I start?